We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Start the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rios gets the first request. An oldie but a goodie right here, folks.
We got a thing going on.
Oh, yeah, the great Billy Paul, man. I got a couple oldies tonight. I'm going to have to throw a couple of my takes in tonight. I've got a couple oldies I wouldn't mind hearing. So, Brown Liquor Music Hour in full effect. We're streaming online at 929thegame.com. If you go there, you can check out our new and improved website, get all your breaking sports news, interviews, replays of shows, live. Everything is all there for you at 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your phone, your tablet, your turntable, your boombox, your CD player, whatever you got for an 8-track player, whatever device that you got, put it on there. That way you can catch us on the go. All the social media for the stations at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It is all there for you to interact with us at. The best way, as always, if you want to be a part of this particular show, interact with us through our Twitter handles. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Be a part of the fun and excitement out there. So the SEC, well, let's get to some college football roundup, by the way. So the SEC announced all the media guys as the SEC media days had finished up and wrapped up. All the media votes had come in. And so the SEC gave out the results. So no shock and surprise that Alabama was the heavy favorite to win the entire SEC, massive favorites to win the SEC West, with Georgia being the massive favorite winning the SEC East. Just to put it in perspective, Georgia got 233 first-place votes in winning the East. Florida came in at second at 21. And remember we told you about there'd be some goofballs. One person had South Carolina winning it. One person had Tennessee. One person had Kentucky winning the SEC East. That's one of those things, just I want to be contrarian and all that, or I'm the beat writer for Kentucky and I'm trying to be good to the coach and whatever like that. But 233. I mean, the rest of the teams in the division only got 24, 25, 20. They only got 27 first-place votes to 233 for Georgia. In the West, Alabama got 253 first-place votes. LSU got 5. Auburn got 1. And Miss State got 1. That's it. A&M didn't get any. And then the SEC champion, Bama. 203 votes to 49 for Georgia. Three people picked LSU to win the SEC. Good luck with that. Cash me outside on that, bro. Now, we talked about the other night, Alabama and Georgia dominating all the polls and everything, and as far as preseason SEC, they're loaded up on the first team. And we talked about this. Now, Georgia ended up with 4 players on first team all SEC. I said they were going to get 5, so I missed it by 1. I thought one of those other offensive linemen, Kinley, Wilson, I thought one of those guys would get first team. So your first team all-SEC, Tua, we knew that. Swift, we knew that. Najee Harris, I'm a little bit surprised, but Najee Harris, okay. What a shock, a wide receiver. Judy and Ruggs. They, by the way, also had Waddle, who might be as good as both of those guys, by the way, on second team. I can't pronounce that kid's name, the big tight end from Missouri that catches all the touchdown passes. Albert. Andrew Thomas from Georgia at tackle. Leatherwood, the other offensive lineman. Prince Tega Wanago from Auburn. Jedrick Wills from Alabama. And then Cushenberry from LSU at center. Now, Jake Fromm made second team. We knew that was going to come. Kinley and Isaiah Wilson on the offensive line, second team as well. So Georgia ends up with 2 offensive players on first team, 3 players offensively on the second team. First team all defense, I told you J.R. Reed would be there. He is. Grant Delpit, who's, I don't know, the second or third best player in the entire SEC. J.R. Reed, Trayvon Diggs of Alabama, C.J. Henderson of Florida. Henderson's tremendous, too. He's a tremendous football player. All kinds of Alabama guys. Raekwon Davis, Dylan Moses, Anfernee Jennings. Second team, nobody from Georgia made second team. Specialist, we told you, Rodrigo would be the kicker. He's the kicker. Jalen Waddle's the return guy and all-purpose guy, so he got all that. So Georgia ends up all total with four guys on first team between offense, defense, and special teams. I thought it'd be five. I thought they'd get one more offensive lineman out there for it, but Georgia and Alabama just dominated in the polling, on the teams, and everything like that for what it means. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow because on College Football Game Time, by the way, me and Chris Goforth and John Fricke, 9 to noon tomorrow, so be sure to tune in for our first edition of College Football Game Time. But
as we roll along here,
but yeah, Goforth's running point, so screw everybody else. Anyway. So, I don't remember a time, and I'm trying to think, just in my Rolodex, when the SEC has been this top-heavy with two teams. And even if you go back, honestly, to the Tebow years, okay, you know, Georgia was really good. Like, Georgia wasn't some ham and egger. Georgia wasn't like a seven-win type of team. They were really good during some of those Tebow years. LSU was really good during those Tebow years. It's not like there wasn't some competition for those two teams. This year, it feels like Georgia and Alabama are going to run away and hide in their divisions. And it's just a fait accompli that they're going to play in the SEC title game this year. Now, again, anything can happen. I get it. I understand that. By the way, shout out to my guy, Christian. Christian, we pimped your restaurant already. He wants to hear some Al Green, by the way, Jarvis. Can you make that happen? Can we get some Al Green for him? He wants to hear the Reverend. So Christian wants a little Al Green for Brown Liquor Music Hour. So, Christian, we're letting you make a request since I'm coming by tomorrow night. So, there you go. Anyway, Georgia dominating along with Alabama. No shock and surprise out there. So, SEC media polls out. Kansas fans, you know who their new head coach is, right? Speaking of SEC, Les Miles. So, Kansas is about to become the sixth school in the Big 12 that is going to have alcohol sales. In consultation with the university, Kansas Athletics has introduced the sale of beer and wine at selected venues on a trial basis to help assess the viability of a broader offering of alcoholic beverages. That from Jeff Long, athletic director, who said in a release, quote, that program has been very successful, and with the support and collaboration of on-campus entities, we are now prepared to expand it. Fans have told us that one of the best ways to enhance their experience at Kansas Athletics events is for them to have the ability to enjoy beer and wine. And we are pleased to provide this opportunity. Said they'll become the sixth school, along with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Texas, and Texas State, to allow things like that. Now, I told you, there's been studies out that say that West Virginia and some of these schools that have allowed for on-campus alcohol sales actually, Jarvis, have a reduced amount of alcohol-related incidents. Because you don't have everybody power drinking and loading up before they get in the stadium, knowing that they better get all their liquor in before they walk through the door. That if you can not mass quantity it before you get in there and you can have some when you get in, then the amount of incidents are reduced. And all the studies show that that has happened out there. So Kansas now going to join everybody else. And again, this will become commonplace Within the next 5 years. There's already, I think, 50 FBS schools that do it. I would say in the next 5 years, you're going to see everybody do it. SEC's already allowing it now. They've loosened their law, so you're going to get everybody involved in all this. So Jim Harbaugh, who made some comments the other day, you know, taking his shots at Urban Meyer, which is easy to do because Urban's not there, right? It's easy to do. No Urban there. And by the way, how many times did he beat Urban? Oh, yeah, that's right. None. That's right. I forget. You have this clip, don't you, about what Harbaugh said when, you know, everybody kind of followed up at Big Ten Media Days about, you know, him sticking to his guns on this.
Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been.
So this is that was from the Athletics, the TK Show podcast that he made that comment on. Now, I will say this. Did he have trouble at Utah and Toledo? Because he coached at those two programs before he went to Florida, right? Everybody knows that. He coached at Toledo. You know, he coached at Toledo. Nick Saban coached at Kent State. And then he went to Utah, coached Alex Smith there. That's where he made his name, was coaching Alex Smith. Dan Mullen was part of that staff too, by the way. Yeah, Dan, you know, Dan Mullen's coached Alex Smith, Dak Prescott, Tim Tebow. Like, he's got a whole laundry list of guys that he's coached. But Dan Mullen was out there. So Urban then goes to Florida, and that's where it all kind of goes down out there. In talking to Day 2, he also said, I don't think it was anything that was new or anything of a bombshell. It's things that you all understand and have written about. I don't see why people are so afraid to say what they think. Maybe that's something that's worthy to be examined. That was in reference to if his comments were premeditated or just, you know, trying to stir things up. He says, no, it was just me saying what I think out there. Look, it's easy for Jim Harbaugh to make these kinds of statements because there's no Urban Meyer. Like, do you think that he'd make those statements if Urban Meyer was still there as the head coach? I don't. I don't think he'd make those statements. And especially because Urban Meyer would get up in front and say, hey, Jim, next time you beat me will be your first time, by the way. Just want to let you know all that. Because I promise you, if Jim Harbaugh went low, I'd go low. Yeah, I know that the saying is, you know, when they go low, you go high. F that. I'm too petty for all that, okay? My petty meter's too high to allow for all that to happen. So when they go low, I'm going snakeskin low, okay? I'm going snake's belly on the ground low at that point out there. I'm going soles of my shoes low at that point. And I'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't listen a whole lot what Jim Harbaugh says. He's never beat me, so what does he know? He's never beaten Ohio State, so what does he know about all of that out there? So, look, I think the media voted for Michigan to win the Big Ten. I think they were the media favorite in the preseason poll. I'll still take Ohio State. I'll still take Ohio State as the team that's going to win the Big Ten out there. And obviously, you know, they got the guy up there, Justin Fields. He's going to get his shot to quarterback. By the way, you know, I love how these coaches, too, basically try to lure you into thinking that there's quarterback competition. You see what Lincoln Riley was talking about the other day? About, well, you know, I don't know if Jalen's won the job or not. Jalen Hurts, you know, transfer. Not sure if he's won the job or there's going to be competition. Okay, thanks. Okay, right. That's why he transferred there, right? Like, he transferred there so he could sit out, right? That's what he wanted to do, was sit on the bench. Okay. Again, cash me outside, bro, on all that nonsense out there. So, but yeah, Jim Harbaugh, you know, this is, I don't want to say that this is a make or break year, but if he doesn't get it done this year, then you got to have to start telling me about what's the big bet. I mean, there is a lot of benefit for Jim Harbaugh being at Michigan. He's good for that program, and he's going to bring in money, and they are going to be a really good team. But at some point, the on-field football stuff has to come through. Has to be more than just hot takes and you know, he's Mr. Intense football guy and this, that, and the other. At some point, you have to actually start to win football games, and you have to start, you know, competing for national championships and not getting blown out in bowl games and all that good kind of stuff. So, all right, when we get back, talk some Braves baseball with you. And, you know, after Mike Soroka, who I think we all trust, who do you trust on this staff after that? How would you rank the trust factor of this starting rotation after Mike Soroka? As the Braves trying to wrap up here against the Washington Nationals with a 3-1 lead. Chuck Green, the Key Studios. There you go. Well, Al Green for you, man. How do you mend a broken heart? The Bee Gees song, by the way, too. Sports Radio 910 The Game. Canton, Ohio. It's the OJs, baby. Little used to be my girl. Back at it, the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Brown Liquor Music Hour in full effect. Gotta love it, man. There you go. The girl's got plenty good loving. This is my request, by the way. Ask me how I know, and I'll tell you so. You think those two guys out there have any clue about this kind of stuff, Jarvis? Two hot takes? You got double hot take coming up tonight. They don't know about this kind of music. Two things, by the way, from our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. I've got the text line up, so you're going to... It's Bowling... I forgot. It's Bowling Green, not Toledo. By the way, those two schools are basically up in the same exact area. I mean, Bowling Green and Toledo are up in the northwest corner of the state. So, I forgot. Urban was coaching at Bowling Green. And Nick Saban coached at Toledo. That's where I got... Nick Saban played at Kent State, coached at Toledo. And then Urban coached at Bowling Green, and then he went to Utah after that. Now, by the way, too, before I get into this Braves talk, somebody asked me what mush is. I tweeted out a picture and I talked about mush. You ever had mush before, Jarvis? Mush is basically like cornmeal that is like a pudding that you harden, like as like a, you know, almost like a Jello or something like that. Then you cut it up in like rectangles and then you pan fry it. You pan fry it and then you basically put butter and syrup on it. It's a breakfast food. Because I had mush when I was down in Florida when we went to Bob Evans. Bob Evans serves mush. And you know, they're slices. You can get one, two, three slices of mush. You put butter and syrup on it. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like SOS or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know what SOS is? You know, blank on a shingle. They put the S's. That's Army food. You know, that's what my dad ate in the Army, like chip beef on toast or whatever like that. You know, SOS, you know, crap on a single, you know. So, yeah, mush is kind of like a, you know, it's just kind of like cornmeal pudding, just kind of like a low-rent kind of food. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's a good breakfast food, though. I enjoy like a good slice of mush. So, yes, for the texter that asked about what is mush, there you go. That's what it is right now. All right, so the Atlanta Braves, as they're trying to wrap up here, 3-1 as we're now in the top of the or bottom of the eighth inning. So one more at bat. I would assume we're going to see Luke Jackson because we didn't see him last night. So expect Luke to be in the game coming up here. But, you know, everybody keeps talking about the starting pitching woes, and it got me to thinking a little bit about, I think at this point we all trust Mike Soroka and how good he's been, that at least for this year, it's not fluky. Now, I don't know what he means 2 years, 5 years from now, but for this year, because that's all I care about. You know, see, again, everybody's so caught up in 5 years, 3 years, we're rebuilding, we're in a transitional phase. The hell with that. You know, I want to win the World Series now. Not next year. Maybe we can. Let's see what happens. Prospects. I'm not worried about all that stuff. I want to win the World Series now when I got a shot to win all that. So, Mike Soroka, at least for this year and right now, I think we all completely trust. Mike Soroka right now is, give him the ball for 1-4-7 in a playoff series, and let's take our chances and see what happens. And I would assume that coming up, depending on how this division goes, hopefully if they can kind of keep and maybe expand this lead a little bit, tonight would be a big win, you know, and maybe if they could find a way for them to win 3 out of 4, then we could start maybe talking about, okay, what do we do about load management for the Sorokas and the Max Frieds of the world and get them ready for the playoffs? Because at this point, it would be probably a pretty good collapse for a 58-40 team to not make the playoffs. I don't know what the biggest collapse is in history. I know the Braves had one in September back in the Freddie Gonzalez days. They couldn't win a game at all in September. But this is a playoff team. And we're going to assume that they're a playoff team. Now it's a matter of how far we can go. But after Mike Soroka, where do you trust this Braves starting rotation? You know, I'm going to say for me right now, I would say that it goes, after Soroka, from a trust perspective, I'll go Keuchel, Fried, Tehran. Now, Keuchel's been a little bit up and down, you know, himself, but he's got a dearth of experience. He's got, you know, World Series under his belt. He was there with that Houston run. He's been there, done it. I'm going to go with the veteran leadership, you know, over the rookie pitcher right now. And it's really more a matter of that. Doesn't mean that Max Fried doesn't have better stuff than Dallas Keuchel, what have you. But right now, I think he's your second most trustful pitcher out there, with Fried being third. And look, Fried's on the IL, and he's got his blister and all that kind of stuff, 10-day IL. And his ERA is a little bit high. I think his ERA is like 4.08. It's a little bit high for a guy who's got as good a winning percentage as what he does. Tells you that the offense is really good. Like, he doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good enough and the offense puts up a bunch of runs, and most nights Max Fried isn't the number one starter, so he's not seeing Scherzer and Kershaw and guys like that. But he is a rookie, and at times he's shown you he's really pitched like a rookie. But I still trust him more than maybe even Julio. You saw tonight with Julio Teheran, and ended up not biting him. He only gave up the one run. But it just feels like when it's about to come off the rails for Julio Teheran, it comes off quickly. If Julio keeps the ball in the ballpark, a lot of good things for him happen. Because for him, one home run becomes two homers, which becomes three homers, and then, you know, just kind of spirals, it seems like, you know, out of control for him, you know, after a while. And he'll get the win tonight. He'll pick up the win tonight, assuming that the Braves don't blow this or Luke blows this or anything like that. They got a two-run lead, so, you know, two outs in the top of the eight, or bottom of the eighth here. So they got a two-run lead for it. So hopefully they close it out and be done out there. But after you get to Teheran, you know, this for all of the we've invested in all this starting pitching, it amazes me that they're still looking for more starters out there. And maybe the guy that you trust the second or third most isn't even on this team. You know, if this team does trade for a Madison Bumgarner, does he become number two? I mean, I would tell you this, and Bumgarner, by the way, if you haven't seen, has pitched really well of late. He's actually been a lot better of late than he was earlier in the season. But if you're telling me, you know, in a playoff series, who would I trust more to give the ball to? Madison Bumgarner or Dallas Keuchel? I'm obviously going Bumgarner. And his reputation and his record and all that speaks for itself. By the way, his ERA is down to 3.65 for the year. Still only a 5-7 record for him this year. But I was trying to pull up his numbers. His last two starts, 5 innings, no earned runs, 9 inning complete game, 1 earned run. Had only 2 innings with 1 earned run on July 6th. 7 innings of one run ball, and then 6 inning 2 earned run. So of late, he's been much, much better as a starting pitcher. Maybe he becomes your number two if you pick up someone like that. You know, Marcus Stroman's been rumored. Mike Minor has been rumored, who, by the way, is not happy with Texas, if you haven't seen. He's like, why did you give me all this money if you're just looking to trade me? Well, that's baseball, man. Sorry. They need young prospects and especially pitching prospects, so they don't have anybody right now. But if you're telling me that this team really needs another starting pitcher, considering that, you know, the shuttle buses run back and forth, I get how good Fried and Soroka has been, but it is a little bit disheartening that very few guys seem to be really clicking, both from a relief standpoint or from a starter standpoint. You know, Tukey's been a real mixed bag this year, some really good. And then last night stinks it up, you know, and he's had some of those clunkers. It is a little bit disappointing that the franchise that decided to do it differently than everybody else and invest completely in their pitching hasn't been able to find enough pitching without signing Dallas Keuchel, trading for somebody, you know, at the trade deadline or what have you. You know, it is a little bit disappointing that more guys haven't stepped up. You know, Newcomb's had to move to the pen because he wasn't doing enough as a starting pitcher. Now at least he's getting, and here comes Luke. There you go. Luke's up. So here you go. We'll see what he does. It's high leverage time out there. And maybe he'll come in and blow him out. I mean, maybe he'll just run right through Washington. Wouldn't surprise me, you know, out there. He's got a two-run lead, so he can just throw strikes. He didn't have to worry about getting two. And then they drop a bunt down. He may have a bunt single out of all this. Oh, good play by Luke. That was a real good play by Luke because that was a beautiful bunt that was dropped down right there. Could have been a bunt single. If that ball had gotten a little bit further, that might have been a bunt single for all of it. So I still personally don't trust Luke Jackson. That you're telling me, Squid and I were arguing about this in the bullpen before the show. Like, I still think that their resources need to be spent on getting a guy that they trust at the back end of their bullpen. Now there's talk about Carlos Martinez for the Cardinals may be available. We know about Will Smith. We know about Green up in Detroit. If I'm going to spend some of my assets, I'd rather have another closer. Because I think the Braves have enough starting pitching. If you're telling me that Soroka, Keuchel, and Fried, those guys are healthy, ready to go, and they don't have load management issues or whatever you want to tell me, we can probably win a bunch of playoff games out there. I'm worried about can we close out teams, though. I'm worried about can they close out teams. Because like I said, at some point, these prospects are either going to have to catch on or you're going to have to move on. I'm tired of hearing about Kyle Wright. I'm tired of hearing about Kobe Allard. I'm tired about hearing about guys with great stuff. And I'm also tired of hearing this. Don't give up on those guys. Why? If giving up on them means I can win the World Series, then I'm giving up on them. At some point, don't we have to have the mentality of we're a championship team, let's act like it? Somebody had tweeted me earlier about that. Like, instead of worrying about winning division titles, let's start worrying about winning the World Series. Okay? What do we got to do to beat the Dodgers? I don't care what we have to do to beat the Phillies and the Nationals. That we've got figured out. What do we got to do is Zimmerman gets a hit, by the way, too. What do we got to do to beat the Dodgers? I know how to beat the Phillies and Nationals. Figure that out. I know how to beat the Marlins. Mets. Figure that out. Tell me how to beat the Dodgers. That's what I want to know at this point. And if that means precious prospects go back, you told me you had a million of them. There's some guys you don't want to trade. I get that. I understand that completely. You don't want to trade Christian Pache. You really don't want to trade Drew Waters. I get that. Outside of that, everybody could go, including Ian Anderson if he needs to. Always nothing like some Luther, man. Never too much Luther. Oh, sorry. That's the song. All right, when we get back, Falcons talk. Who are you most excited for to take that next step forward for the Atlanta Falcons? I got some names of my own. We'll give to you next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios on the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 910 The Game. The great Bobby Caldwell bringing us back in, baby. Yes. A little brown liquor music here for you right now. Yeah, what you won't do for love. Hope my girl's not listening. 404-741-09. I can't even talk. 0929 at this point. At JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Okay. We're going to talk about some... We're going to talk some Falcons. F that. Okay? Did you hear Squid and I earlier about all this discussion? Okay. Okay. So... let me go ahead and go off. It's going to happen, okay? Here's rule number one, okay? No more blaming Luke Jackson. This is not a Luke Jackson problem. I've told you guys this for months. This is not a Luke is not good problem. It has nothing to do with that. Do you know what this is? This is a Brian Snitker... Alex Anthopoulos problem. This is number one, first and foremost, Brian Snitker's problem. Because what have I tell you guys a million times? The best thing about Brian Snitker is the worst thing about Brian Snitker. And his loyalty to his guys is tremendous. It's also why Luke Jackson keeps giving up runs and getting a chance to pitch. You can no longer blame Luke Jackson. You have to start blaming for all the things that you guys tell me about why I told you I didn't want Brian Snitker back here. This team is good enough. They'll fart around and futz around and they'll win the division. They're going to win the division. I got that. They did it last year. I sure as hell expected them to do it this year too. You don't get to win the division then. Let's go rebuild some more. Screw that. I'm in the World Series business. What are you in? What are you in? I'm in the business of, I don't care about division titles. Give me the pennant. Give me the World Series trophy. I want that sparkly little trophy, and it sits in that case. And it says, World Series champions. Win your divisions. Do your little rebuilds. It's all great. This is a Brian Snitker thing. And I keep telling you and telling you. And it's what I tried to tell Squid. You had a 3-1 lead. The Nationals look at this as a playoff game, guys. You know why? Because they can't afford to try to win this division by losing 2 out of 4 or losing 3 out of 4. They can't split. Time is running out for the Nationals to win the division and not be in that cockamamie one-and-done wild card game. They have to make hay now. So they think of it as a playoff game. Maybe the Braves don't, but the Nationals sure as hell do. They didn't come here thinking, well, let's just get a split with 60 games left and hope for the best. They know they got to start winning some games against the Braves. Because you got four. So don't be mad anymore. I don't want to see one more tweet about Luke Jackson stinks. Not one. Don't waste my timeline notifying me that Luke Jackson stinks. Because your manager ain't no better because he's the guy. Luke Jackson ain't putting him in by himself. Luke ain't raising his hand and saying, I'm calling to the bullpen. I'm coming in. This ain't like some wrestling match where the guy puts himself in the ring. Somebody's got to trot him out there. And your general manager has said, well, we can't figure out a deal or whatever. Our precious prospects. You can tell me about bringing in Stroman and Bumgarner and Minor and this and that, and we need a starter. Won't matter. It won't matter if that guy is going to. This is high leverage, guys. What's he going to do when it's the Dodgers and the Cubs in the friggin' playoffs? What good is that starter going to do if he can't close it out? And you know what's going to happen tonight? You know what's going to happen, Jarvis? The offense is going to bail him out. Because that's how good the Braves are. Because the Braves are so friggin' good offensively, they'll bail him out. And he's going to get a win for it. He'll get a blown save and a win. Why? Acuna, Swanson, Freddie, Nick, McCann, Ryan. Because Donaldson, they load them up. And what do, Jarvis? Whack it all around, man. Hey, whack it all over the yard. And Luke's going to get a win. Because they can mash it and maul it all over the place. You know what their offense says? Screw Luke Jackson. We'll just outscore Luke Jackson. So, no more tweets about Luke Jackson. Come to me with Brian Snitker. Because he's going to Bobby Cox your way to the playoffs again. Loaded for bear. We're the best team. And guess what? Another failure in the playoffs. Why? Because of guys like Luke Jackson. Let me tell you. Green or Carlos Martinez or Will Smith, they'd be here tomorrow. You'd have a deal on the table tomorrow if I'm double A. I am not going to live with my fate of my franchise in the hands of Luke Jackson. I'm not going to get my way through eight innings of baseball just to have Luke Jackson tear it all down. And was this not exactly what I said to Squid tonight? It's exactly what I said to Squid Billy. Because here's your manager, Luke. Stand up on top of the dugout. Come on, Rhino. Right on top of that dugout. Just like Bobby did back in the day. I told you, you ain't convincing me of nothing until you get new blood in this organization. Till you get away from the Bobby, Freddie, Snit train. Sorry, I ain't buying it. It's going to be high leverage time, and that's the guy you're going to rely on, huh? Like I said, this is on your manager from now on. It's been on your manager, but you guys don't want to listen to that. Oh, it's Snitker, man. We love Snitker. So do I. I love Snitker, too. That doesn't make him a great manager. That doesn't mean that he's going to win you a title because he makes these kinds of decisions, you're going to lose in the playoffs. You don't get the Marlins and the Reds and the Pirates and the Giants. You don't get all those scafozos in the playoffs. You know, you got the Dodgers and their Maulers and the Mashers. I don't give a damn about beating the Nationals and Phillies. I know they can do that. Can you beat those teams in the playoffs when it matters? Can you go into Wrigley Field and win two games if you have to? Can you do that? Not with that guy getting trotted out there, and not with the way your manager runs that game like that. That's going to be, ain't going to be your starting pitching. I've been telling you this for months now. You can get all mad. Was Tehran great? He was good enough, though. And you got through it. And the game was right there. Game was right there. Yeah. He had a 3-1 lead. What else? I mean, what else does Tehran need to do? What else does your middle relief need to do? Swarzak and all these guys? What else you want from them? Don't tweet me about Luke Jackson anymore. Start tweeting me about Brian Snitker. Start tweeting me about where the problem really is. Or bury your head in the sand. Well, he's such a good guy. Okay, all right. Well, when this team underachieves in the playoffs again, call me and let me know how that works for you. Because you know what? I've been here since 1993. And I've seen a lot of it. I promise you. I ain't one of these ham and eggers that's been here for a few years. I was here in 93. I've seen a lot of it, folks. Well, we'll love TKO our way up next. Close out the show. Sports Radio 910 The Game. And when I feel I can't go on, you come and hold me. It's you and me forever.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.